hey, we're just going to throw in some hemp seed and some coffee and call it a day.
We control this product from, you know, kind of the ground up when we pull it in. You know, we're a roaster at the heart of this company beyond anything. We're not just bagging and pulling in product. We do everything hands-on. There's two of us. Every bag is packaged, labeled, created, done for us. Every coffee is brewed by us. It's, you know, we get it in. We inspect the green bean from the coffee. We get to see it. We order the non-GMO organic, you know, hemp in. And we can manufacture the product. The whole concept is our mission statement to each other is sustainable super coffee.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out this week's Addicted to Fitness podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening to us week in and week out. It's because of you that we are a 5-star rated podcast in the iTunes store. So if you haven't done so already, please head there. Give us the rating review. Your feedback makes us give you a better product each week. All right, so I'm super excited, if you can't tell by the tone of my voice, about today's episode because we've done interview podcasts. We've done taste tests. We've done on-location episodes. And this episode we have this week is almost a culmination of all three.
It is a culmination of all three.
So I guess it's not like it is a culmination.
It is. Yes, today we're actually on location, and we're going to be speaking with two wonderful gentlemen here. We have Jeremy Denny and his business partner, Brett Schwenke, who's going to be chiming in, apparently. He doesn't want to be on the whole thing. He's just going to be chiming in a little bit. And they are owner and operators of the Hemp and Coffee Exchange.
Mm-hmm. And we're actually out here at the Tiny Ranch. So we want to welcome.
Which I am so in love with, by
the
way.
Yeah, we want to welcome you guys. Thanks for joining us today.
Awesome. Glad to have you guys.
Yeah.
So we, obviously, the hemp coffee, you guys know if you've listened to the podcast, we are huge coffee fanatics. And once I was introduced to your product from a mutual friend, Greg Spatty, owner and operator of Spatty's Coffee.
Greg.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Greg's awesome.
Yeah, he's essentially our neighborhood coffee guy because live right next to him, right next to Spatty's. So when I saw this product, I was like, wow, a combination of hemp and coffee. I'm super interested to know more because I've tried some hemp products before, you know, hemp protein powder, hemp hearts, and I wanted to know more. So once I got in touch with you, Jeremy, I was like, this is someone I need to get on the podcast. And I want to know where kind of this, really this love and pursuit of using high quality food ingredients really, really started for you.
Well, I'm kind of a snob in everything I do in the food industry, what I put through my body. And pretty much if I eat something or put it in, I start to ask myself a question about it, even if it's a carrot. It's like, oh, you know, I wonder what the life of this carrot is, where it was grown, who grew this carrot. And then you get more in complex things like, you know, a bar of soap that has chemicals and all this background. Then you want to research where lye comes from and simplification process. And pretty much it's just a thirst for knowledge is where all that comes from. And the more you research something, the more you become more in tune with the higher quality version of it, or the more health dense version of it, or nutrient dense version of it. And I'm kind of really obsessed with putting healthy things in my body and around me and my environment. So everything I do in life, I research, and it just always comes back to using the highest quality of everything and doing it minimally as you can. So
now, is that something that you've always been attracted to, do you think? Or is that something there was some sort of kind of specific event that made
it? I think it was a slow evolution, and then I got kind of really involved with the idea of doing it in every facet of my life and business. And that's what kind of overtook me the last few years, where I've really kind of went crazy with it, you know, over the top in every facet I can. But it's always been, anytime I learn something, you know, I try to implement that one, and then you implement another one, and eventually, pretty much 360 degrees, everything around your life, you're trying to implement the idea of researching it, taking it back to the root, and doing it yourself.
So you've kind of like DIY'd a lot of that. The sustainable life is a lot of the DIY.
Oh, exactly.
What you've
That's
done.
What it is. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I'm guessing that your culinary background and your education has kind of helped make all this possible, because I'm kind of curious how you get to be that motivated and also not fear the process, fear the DIY, dare I say, because this is not a what you'd call just like an easy kind of step in way of living.
Well, I would say it goes back to that whole 360 thing.
Yeah.
You know, before we started, we were talking a little bit about gut health. Mm-hmm. And what you put in your body and how it affects how you think, how happy you are, your disposition in general. And I think it came for me. It's just I try to have a healthy intake, and doing it yourself gets you the reward, which releases adrenaline, epinephrine, mm-hmm. gets into your endocrine system, boosts your immune system, and then having the healthy gut bacteria and flora and probiotics and all the other elements kind of goes back into making a healthier outlook on things. Yeah. So it's a huge cycle for me. Is I keep motivated because everything I do is a small reward.
Yeah.
And then the reward is making me healthier. Mm-hmm. So then it makes me think clear and positive and feel healthier and just in general. So it's a cycle that works for me.
It's really good motivation.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's kind of, there was a documentary of Werner Herzog called Happy People.
Okay.
It's about people living in the taiga over,
Siberia. Yeah, I think I've heard a little about it.
And it's just people, essentially, their whole goal is to, they do fur trapping in the winter and then just live off that, those products to sustain them throughout the year. But, you know, like all those things you talked about, the happiness chemicals in their endocrine systems, they live a lot longer just because they have their life is a little bit more simplified, but they take more, like you said, the 360 approach to it. Now, the one product, like we already mentioned in the beginning, that kind of spawned this whole podcast, today's podcast, is the hemp coffee blend you guys produce. Now, I want to get both of your input on how it kind of really came to be. How did you decide to combine coffee and hemp together?
Well, it started all with kind of my background and taking it once again back to the core of everything. And I read a book like 3 years ago about the history of coffee. And it was just like the history of beer. If you read through that, like civilization wouldn't exist because of altering water and making it soluble, dense B vitamins, purification so civilizations could survive. Land tax in certain European countries were paid by growing hops and growing wheat and growing barley and all the other grains to produce beer because it was so important to society. When I researched back coffee, it became kind of the same thing. And I was like, all right, this is crazy that two beverages that kind of like map the world. Mm-hmm. So I kind of sidestepped over of 10 years of going extremely deep in researching beer and traveling the world and being involved in that to kind of getting involved in coffee. And the whole time, I don't drink beer every day. I drink coffee every day. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was an easy step. I was like, oh, this is going to be an easy passion project to do this research. And in the background, I've always been a firm supporter of the hemp industry for fibers, textiles, byproducts, hemp proteins, high protein sources, positive fats, the perfect balance, omega-3 and 6, and all the other GLA things that hemp itself provides. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to come up with a product that does a lot of things that other products that are similar are say they do, and you have to like post mix your coffee or do this, but pretty much find a way that I could take coffee, which at that point in time was a passion project, and implement, make it healthier, make it more bioavailable, mm-hmm. And also kind of eliminate some of the issues that other people have with coffee, the high caffeine risk. The jitters, the crash, you know, heart palpitations, etc. Mm-hmm. And I got with Brett because Brett is very involved in the hemp industry and has been a big supporter of that and the sustainability that drives. And he brought his kind of sustainable background to my culinary background and passion to be obsessive about everything. And we decided to form this company. It came easy. And then we spent months and months of sourcing beans, finding the right beans for the right product, sourcing GMO, non-GMO, organic hemp, and all the difficulties that come with that. Because in America, it's not available to farm in the mass way that we need it to be currently. So that's one of our evolutional kind of blockings right now for this company to get to where we eventually want it to be. But the nice thing is we also work to benefit that industry and increase the hemp manufacturing industry altogether.
Now, why can I obviously I have a background because I've heard this topic talked about before or spoke about before. Why is it not allowed to be mass produced in the United States right now?
So it's a legal issue right now, and it is, right? So we are allowed to grow. It first started in Kentucky, in Colorado, where you're allowed to produce hemp and grow it, but it was only for research purposes only. Kentucky really had a great pilot program where they enabled people to do this. I believe last year they have just allowed Colorado to produce hemp and then put it on the market as consumable. In the United States, we still have an organic certification on hemp because technically hemp to be grown on a commercial level is technically still illegal, mm-hmm. federally. You can produce it, and you can put it into certain consumable products, but there's a lot of guidelines right now. So the big hurdles that we have right now is basically just letting the agricultural community step up and say, hey, this is a crop that is a cover crop. It's used on multiple levels. You're talking mm-hmm. from biofuels to plastics to, you know, clothing to bedding for animals, food for us, food for animals, you know, the list, building materials, the list goes on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, this is bar none probably the most diverse plant on the planet that's so useful. Everything from medicine to just quality of life. So it's a hurdle we're going through right now. It is.
Yeah, and hemp has gotten a lot of negative propaganda over the years, probably mostly fed by our government and all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just for hippies.
It all started with the enemy of the human body, which is the sugar industry.
Right? Yes.
And, you know, the sugar industry trying to manipulate healthy other nutritional products. Mm-hmm. And it crushes things like hemp, which is extremely available in any market. And it goes even further back then when, you know, like you said, politically, people attached hemp and marijuana to be the same thing, which people don't even know the vast difference.
Growing that's what I thought. You know.
That's something important I want us to make sure we hit on today is that it's a different plant, correct?
It's a different plant. It does have genes that are close. If you actually want to get comparatively, hops, which are in beer, mm-hmm. world around, all that, are closer to the cannabinoid that is in marijuana, THC, than it is to the actual hemp.
Yeah, right.
There is no psychoactive property. There's no THC in our mm-hmm. product at all. Unfortunately, if people are trying to buy our product and get high, it's not really not at least that way.
Yeah, of course.
Hemp came something mm-hmm. different. The technicalities between, you know, cannabis is it's all one plant.
Right.
Cannabis sativa, right?
Yep.
You have the male version, which produces the hemp and produces the fiber. It produces a flower, just like the female does, but the female flower has a high THC content, which is tetrahydrocannabinol, which has a lot of psychoactive properties, mm-hmm. but also a lot of other really medicinal qualities mm-hmm. we are finding mm-hmm. out today. But the reality of the situation is people don't really know the difference because they look very similar. But hemp is the male version, and that's what produces the seeds, and that's also what produces really strong, hardy stalks. Legally, hemp has to be below 0.03% THC content to be considered hemp legally. We source our hemp from Canada, and that hemp seed actually has a 0.00% THC. Okay. Also, the harvests are continual. You know what I mean? United States have continual harvests going on, and they have really high standards for FDA and high agricultural standards, which right now in the United States, we just don't have that kind of level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I hear like so many. I mean, obviously, Nick's family actually is a farming background. He's a farmer boy. but one of the things that you used to, like your family used to grow was soy. Like they used to grow tobacco and then they started growing soy.
Right.
And now soy has like become that crop. I feel like it wasn't mm-hmm. very, very appealing to most of the demographic, and the demand for it became so huge from the market. So do you think that hemp is that like next real big opportunity crop just in agriculture?
It takes a whole nother side.
Let's do it.
Sorry, we're just going on a tangent here.
All right. Me, especially in a culinary background, and I was a sushi chef for, I still do side personal work and private dinners and sushi, but I was a sushi chef for 7 years, and I've managed a few sushi bars, and I'm very critical about the products I bring in and all that. And once again, doing research endlessly on things, what would always get to me and spawn me one random day was people would get edamame, soybean, mm-hmm. and they'd put salt, high sodium salt, on their high sodium soybeans, and then they would dip it in soy sauce, which is a byproduct of the soybean plant.
I'm sure, I did that
also
at some
high
point.
Sodium. So you got sodium, boom, done. Oh, I'm eating edamame. You know, I'm healthy. You know, which is high in estrogen and other things.
Yeah.
On aside from that, so if you look into soy more, and soybean was created as a cover crop to restabilize mm-hmm. the fields. And now it's even more popular, you know, 20 years down the road from when they started doing it. It's like, oh, let's check the soil. Corn this year, soy this year.
Rotating crops.
And now no-till crops, soybean takes really good. So they just top spray chemicals on the top, drop the seeds in, you grow tons of soybean. Soy industry is blowing up because you have, you know, all the byproducts from it. Tofu, soy sauce. People don't think of it.
Yeah.
And there's some good books out there. You could do a much more investigating one. It's called The Whole Soy Truth. And it kind of tells you, it's kind of like the new sugar industry. You know, people are manipulated where breakfast for a kid should be wake up, have an orange juice, which has more sugar in it than a glass of Coke, have a bowl of cereal that has littered with sugar, throw some sugar on top of that cereal, have some milk, which has lactose sugar in it, sugar. You crash 4 hours later. No wonder kids don't have the motivation to get through the day in school, can't think, you know, properly to absorb all the information that's coming their way. And it's all kind of, soy is the new industry. And sodium's going to be the next crisis if the soy industry keeps going the way it is.
Yeah.
That being said, hemp now is the revolutionary, it's the crop, and monetary value is way will supersede what soy, corn, any product that we grow or agriculturally American do. And it's all healthy. And it has 100% crop health, means it can defend off pesticides and herbs a lot better than other crops can, needs less cover spray. It's a weed. It grows like a weed. So instead of trying to trim out the weeds from your plants, you're growing the weed, harvesting it and building and creating anything you want from a nutritional standpoint and from a textile standpoint.
Yeah, it's super, super diverse. The big thing is that we don't have really a lot of infrastructures, i.e. like a lot of farms put in place or a lot of government subsidies that says, hey, you can come in, you can get a discount for your farmland to produce hemp.
Yeah.
But as far as like the revolution, if we enable it, yes, it'll change the world on a dramatic, dramatic level. There's no other plant on the planet that could clothe, could feed, and can provide medicine to everything on this planet, including animals, more than cannabis alone. You know, hemp is just an incredible, incredible product. You know, we're learning a lot more about it, and the more we get government subsidies to say, hey, we're going to back up university research, we're going to back up these local farmers to produce this crop, it's really, really going to change the dynamic. But it's a cover crop, yes, it leaves a nitrogen-rich soil after you're done.
Yeah,
but they're also learning a bunch of other things about it, too, as far as like what it does for the root systems as well, because it doesn't spread like other root systems, too. It digs a lot deeper into the soil. So as you start tilling it up, just makes it super, super easy to till up and leave it nutrient rich.
Yeah, I think it's got a history in the United States past, because I think we're going to talk about World War One. They made parachutes out of it and all the types of ropes.
The country was built on hemp.
Yeah, really. So I mean, that's...
All the ropes on the Nina, the Santa Maria, the Nina, the Pinta were all made of hemp. Mm-hmm. The Declaration of Independence were hemp.
Swept those facts under the rug, didn't they? Because they don't teach that in school.
There's a book right over there on my counter that says The Great Book of Hemp.
Yeah.
And it starts at the day where a country is founded and kind of goes through and shows all the things that are hemp-based.
That's incredible. I mean,
it shows you the power of propaganda. Just be so detrimental. I mean, I think we're seeing it nowadays.
We'll avoid politics.
But I think, like you said, if people like yourselves and other companies, and I've tried other products that use the hemp powder and things like that, I feel there's more voices now more than ever that are promoting the idea of using hemp as, you know, the kind of the cure all to a lot of the ills that we're facing nowadays.
It is. In every way, really.
And now, so I want to know how it combines with the coffee. Because obviously we're coffee freaks.
That's
so
what we got coming up right now.
Yeah, we're getting ready to do some taste
tests.
Is this
the seed or the heart?
This is going to be the seed. So we do offer two different hemp coffee blends. We use the seed, which is the whole entire seed, which offers the shell, and then the heart, which is the kernel on the inside, right? So the shell adds a little more of an earthier, kind of almost like tea-like qualities, really kind of woodiness in the palate. The kernel's going to change the mouthfeel and add a lot of fat content to it. So it adds a mild sweetness to it as well. But it's all dependency on kind of what you like, preferably. But all of it is pre-ground and hand-blended products. What we do is we actually source in single origin beans. you know, from really, really cool direct trade farms. And then we design roast profiles on those beans to match the characteristics of hemp seed, whether it be nutty or earthy or kind of mildly sweet. Things of that nature really, really come into play when we design all the products, because Jeremy does have a chef background. It's not like, hey, we're just going to throw in some hemp seed and some coffee and call it a day.
We control this product from, you know, kind of the ground up when we pull it in. You know, we're a roaster at the heart of this company beyond anything. We're not just bagging and pulling in product. We do everything hands-on. There's two of us. Every bag is packaged, labeled, created, done for us. Every coffee is brewed by us. It's, you know, we get it in. We inspect the green bean from the coffee. We get to see it. We order the GMO, non-GMO, organic, you know, hemp in, and we can manufacture the product. The whole concept is our mission statement to each other is sustainable super coffee. You know, that's, we want to make sure everything we do is sustainable and it all leads to a healthier product. We don't want to do anything that creates an unhealthier product in any way. Sourcing in really good beans that are dried in the proper way from families that care about their product limits the myotoxins, which are in the bean. And if you drink some of your commercial brands, or if you go through your fast food drive-through and you get coffee, or if you go to your gas station and get coffee, for one, it's been bastardized and it's been burnt and it's oily bean. It's roasted. It's going to be lower caffeine, have that burnt chocolatey flavor, which so many Americans, unfortunately, have been accustomed to be what good coffee is. Mm-hmm. But actually has full of myotoxins, which causes jitters. Pretty much, if you really want to make it dramatic, it poisons your bloodstream.
Yeah, and I think that's been in the news recently about the myotoxins.
I'm sure it has.
It's just starting to really come forward that when you talk about bad coffee, it's because of myotoxins.
Exactly.
Right?
Our coffee we source in a drying method that has as minimal myotoxins as we can. We don't over roast, so we don't have any of the burn or negative carbon characters that are created from cooking the coffee, really. You know, we roast it very carefully, and then we take, you know, a source product from healthy soil, healthy farms, and try to really research the biodiversity of those crops and those farms. Mm-hmm. And then on the second end of it, you know, we make sure we take everything with the packaging and the posting after we have the product developed to get it to your door or get it to your hands or get it to a cup or whatever it is and however you're consuming our product. We have lots of different streams right now. You know, we've cooperated with a lot of local businesses that either use it on their menu. You know, we have a sushi place that puts it in their coffee jelly, Asian coffee jelly dessert. We have juice bar that puts it in a hemp coffee smoothie. We have a lot of places that sell the retail bags. We've done cider infusions with a few cider houses that have our thing. We've done brewery collaborations. And we also have a nitro product on draft that we just started doing in a few locations close.
Fancy.
Yes. Pussy Chapel over in Wiregrass Mall carries a brewer on draft.
Excellent.
That's cool. Incredible. Oh.
So, yeah, I mean, there's so many questions I have. But so the thing I'm interested in is the way I've taken in hemp previous to this is through the hemp hearts, you know, just eating them, putting them on food product or something like that.
You can get them at Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Or a hemp protein powder. So ground up, I'm assuming it's the seeds, what I assume.
Well, it depends. It's actually, that product goes through mild alteration. It's just not like a straight whole product. It's like an extraction where they isolate proteins, kind of just like a whey. You know, whey wouldn't just be straight, you know, pulled out product. It's an isolated product. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of science that goes in that, and I'm not going to set and generalize it for you on everything. But it's kind of a byproduct of a lot of that. And you can increase the fiber content by adding in more fiber availability from the plant, which would be the stems and different parts.
Right.
So depending on what company you go through and what the nutritional thing is, they each approach it a little bit different.
Okay.
But it goes back to saying that, you know, there's so many things you can do with just the hemp thing on a nutritional level. That being said, I've done everything you can imagine with it. I make curry bases out of it. You know, I bake bread with it, make hemp flours. It's great for using like gelatin bases. I've done just about every dish you can think of, you know, from if you want a traditional Lebanese cuisine to, you know, doing sushi and incorporating into that, or a lot of baked goods. Cause obviously the seed and the heart goes great cause it adds a crunch factor and a little bit of sweetness. But you can literally incorporate it into any recipe. And then if you want to talk about heat tolerance and threshold, we'll get into that too. as we talk about these coffees, because we just
got a couple coffees in front of us.
We just got this. Is this scene?
Yeah, not going to lie. We're going to be very well caffeinated by the end of this.
All right, well, we'll take a step back. All right, so we're talking about the first coffee you guys had here. Went through our espresso machine. And through the espresso machine, we just did our straight whole bean. So there was no hemp in that one at all. That's just our, you know, kind of our pride and joy bean that we started
our blend off of. That was the lattes we had earlier?
And that was the lattes that you started out with. This next one is going to be our hemp seed coffee, which has a 15% hemp seed ratio into it. We hand crank and hand burr grind all the coffee and the seed. So you don't crush any of the kernels. You don't release any of the oils. It all stays within the package itself. And this is done with an infusion. Two traditional ways that you make coffee, if you really want to break it down. People would say, I do AeroPress, French press, Chemex, pour-over, espresso, cold brew, nitro, whatever. There's a million ways you can make coffee, but if you want to break it down scientifically, you have a decoction and an infusion. Everything when coffee started being done 600 plus years ago was done with the decoction method. And what they do is they first start with the whole cherry you pick from the plant, and they boil that. And boil it and boil it and boil it, then drink that liquid and separate it out. Then they're like, oh, let's just take the seeds out. And then eventually let's roast these seeds. And eventually got to the process where they're either taking the ground roasted coffee bean or the whole bean and boiling it in water as long as they could to pull everything out to it. It's like sludge, like Turkish coffee and stuff like that. Have you ever had that?
Yep.
Then you filter that out and you have that liquid. When you do that, you release a certain set of chemicals and destroy a certain set of other chemicals because you're above 212 degrees, the boiling point. When you do an infusion with coffee, you don't saturate the actual product in the boiling water, and you never actually use boiling water. You want to have it around, let's say, depending on what kind of coffee you're going to make, 92 to 208 degrees tops. 198 is what I like to, it's kind of a safe zone for like a pour over or something like that.
Yeah.
So the heat threshold, you don't destroy some of the chemicals that are in the coffee, and the not having that prolonged exposure of the liquid to the coffee releases a different set of chemicals, a lot of B vitamins, amino acids, antioxidants, and other things like that. So it's very important that, especially with our coffee, that you never use a decoction method. You don't want to boil this and make Turkish coffee out of it.
Right.
Other than that, any infusion method you want to use. It's one reason that we say we don't think our coffee comes out that well as a French press, because you saturate in there. And it does come out good. I had one today, you know, this morning, but it's not the preferred method. But in a pour over, drip coffee works. You can put it in your little crew egg thing.
Yeah.
And the other method is we don't do it in an espresso because the high temperature, high pressure with the hemp and seed and hemp heart doesn't come out right. So we only use the whole bean for all the espresso, which I'm working working on the science of that. But currently, you know, we don't ever want to release a product that we don't think can compete with the biggest snob out there. Because I consider myself a snob, and if I release a product that's under that, I'm not going to be happy with it. And we're both on that tip. So it's a, you know, it's not like a conflict of interest. That's the main thing, is we know it has to be good.
Our passions line up. We're intense individuals on opposite ends of the spectrum, if that makes sense. He's extremely healthy. You know, obviously, I hate to exercise. I eat very unhealthy things, but it's a great balance. But, you know, we come together because we're extremely passionate about everything we do and everything we put on the market, especially as a product that we stand behind. We have to say, can we give this to our children? Do we want to drink this on a regular basis? Do you want to eat this on a regular basis? Because if it's not up to that level, we're not going to put it out there for anyone else to have.
Like the perfect pairing.
Even though you said you don't like to work out, you're producing a nutrition product. A highly healthy product that people can have to have proper nutrition. This is what that's what this coffee is.
But now if you say that, you go into this guy's house, you know, he's not like me where he creates and extracts and stores everything, but he buys organic, healthy products for his kid. And he has his shelf, you know, littered with low sugar, you know, as much as he can.
Right.
I still like the sweet stuff. If you cover it in cheese and fry it, I'm going to eat it. Regardless. But yeah, we do. But this product saved a lot of people's lives, and it has. You know, and I think a lot of people, you know, think it's a gimmick off the gate. Then they realize they drink out like cows really good. Then they realize the science behind it, what it's done. You know, especially for me, because I couldn't drink regular coffee for over a decade, and it would just mess me up. And I can drink up to probably 24, maybe 40 ounces of hemp coffee a day and be totally fine.
Wow.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to try this. Yeah. First thing I smell, it smells like, I think you mentioned this before, almost like a tea.
Yeah.
It has a tea aspect.
Exactly. This is the seed. Like we're saying, it's got the hull and the husk on the outside. and it makes it a little earthier, like a hay-like character almost.
We make it a little stronger. You know, we recommend about 15 grams of coffee to about 6 ounces of grounds is what we do. So this comes out a little bit stronger, but you can brew it how you want.
No, I'm a big coffee, strong coffee fan, so...
You can see on the top of this coffee, if you look at it, it has a little bit of oil residue. You can see that's the complex of the lipids from the hemp. And it's in there, which is, you know, your perfect balance of omega-3 and omega-6s. Through a water-soluble extraction, you only get a percent of those. Not 1%, but like, you know, 40, 60%, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how the water saturates and all these other variables, it's going to change a little bit. But you do get those omega-3s and 6s. Into the coffee. And, you know, one of the things through research and what we've attached so far is something with those omega-3s and 6s and the caffeine and the way those two molecules come together and go through and metabolize as coffee speeds up your metabolism by about 15%, it allows for a slower extraction of those caffeine molecules. So you don't get that jitter. Mm-hmm. You don't get that calm down. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know, just drinking the straight coffee here and you'll get that little thing. Then I go to like hemp coffee afterwards. Mm-hmm. It'll start to kind of like calm me down a little bit, which is really strange.
Okay,
so that's one reason we started with the regular whole bean coffee. Because whole bean has no hemp in there, so you don't, you know, it doesn't have that effect. You're going to get caffeine, it's going to be, you know, send you going. This is much more mellow, and you're only losing about 15% of that caffeine, but it's how it kind of, the bioavailability, as we're talking about, and how it breaks down in your body and metabolizes. It works for some people, and everyone that tried it so far is... we've had great feedback. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously one of those, I say obviously a lot, unfortunately, but it's my comfort word.
Yeah.
But I think this was kind of the same approach with bulletproof coffee, or they try to at least advertise.
So let me chime in. We're going to
please do.
Very similar lipids. This is what we believe with our hemp coffee. Is that the similar lipids can be found in butter, can be found in the fats of hemp seed. And those lipids are wrapping around those caffeine molecules and enabling your body to absorb caffeine much differently. So you actually get more sustained energy, but less caffeine your body will intake. But you're not getting the advanced trace nutrients and minerals you're getting from hemp seed that you would from butter. Plus, if you're dairy intolerant, you can't consume butter coffee.
Or you're vegan, vegetarian, ovo-lactic, pescatarian, whatever. You're
flat out sick like me.
Yes. Exactly. Or you don't want to have to burr mix and blend butter into your coffee every day.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, it's not going to be on the same level as that, where, you know, this is a more natural, straightforward way of doing the product. But it kind of makes it a little bit competitive in that market if that's what you're into and you want to try something a little easier, a little healthier.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'll say anything that bulletproof coffee can do, hemp coffee can do far better.
Wow.
And if, far better. If we really wanted to go into that, and by that statement, to match any of those nutritional things that bulletproof coffee, you'll have to do things like, you know, emulsified coconut oils and stuff like that. No MCT oil, because that's a whole misconception in the market. It's actually a byproduct of coconut manufacturing, and it doesn't have any lauric acid in it. So MCT oil, not bad for you. It's great for you, but it's not nearly as healthy as just straight coconut oil, and it's way more expensive. So, you know, lauric acid is what you really want out of the coconut, outside of the fats and healthy fats, especially if you're on a vegan, vegetarian diet or something like that, and you're trying to replace healthy fats, avocado, etc. But with this, you know, sometimes I'll emulsify coconut oil and things like that and blend it into the coffee. And then you really have, you know, a thing. The first time I ever made it, I think I texted him like 45 minutes later. I'm like, man, I'm jacked right now.
It's crazy what it does. A lot of people say, hey, man, I'm drinking your coffee and I'm so jolted off of it. And they don't realize, like, okay, wow, like your body is going to absorb that caffeine much differently. So it's much more efficiently absorbed. So you're like, holy crap. Or some people say, you know, it doesn't really jack me up, but I stay awake longer. Like for me, I'm up till 4 o'clock in the morning. I can't go to sleep at all. I get a heavy crash off regular caffeine, but I don't get a crash off of new coffee at all. I also don't get face twitches, heart palpitations, jitters, nausea. I get every bad side effect from caffeine the whole gamut. The whole, so for me, it was important, you know, to have a product that I can really say, this really does do something for me. What does it do for everybody else?
Right. Yeah. And it's fortunate to be able to have a business partner to test all this. You know?
See, if you start switching, you're like, oh, this one's not good.
Oh, yeah. The first 3 months of us cupping origins, because we spent 3 months sourcing out different origins and really, like, finding out what roasters we wanted to work with and really kind of just, like, tasting coffee.
I felt bad.
It was like this whole side of my face was twitching.
Oh no!
It was so straight at times. It was bad.
But once we got it honed in and right, he's been good now. He probably drinks more coffee than I do now. But
that's something super important because obviously you guys know that decaf coffee is obviously a product that's kind of produced, and if this can it almost seems like it's. I mean, obviously they have caffeine still. So people that can't really have, but somebody like you who's caffeine sensitive, replaces decaf coffee.
It's changed people's lives.
Decaffeinated coffee is a bastardized product too. So right. I understand that it becomes a requirement for certain people to consume for many reasons. But I mean, a little background on decaf. If anyone says, you know, they have high end or select decaf, the process has to go through and the steam treating and all the other things and that. On top of that, what they do is they use all the byproduct beans, the not pretty beans and the crack beans and the ugly beans to produce that product because they think the people that are drinking decaf aren't going to care as much. So one of my eventual passions long down the road is I would like to be able to create a decaf coffee supplement that's actually treated right and used properly because that's something the market's missing. And we get it requested for it, but unfortunately we have so many variables that we're really trying to hone in on now. That product is such a small percentage of the market. Mm-hmm. Eventually we will get there and I'll find out something really cool on a scientific level that kind of offers a good product on a decaf level for people.
Yeah.
Where do you source though? The reason decaf coffee is decaf is they spray it with a chemical.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's really the easy way to do it because they lay it out in the dryer and they spray it. So if you do get a decaf coffee, you only want organic. So Zeal, the roaster we work with, they're extremely passionate from bean to cup on every level. So they do offer, you know, unfortunately decaf. But they only ordered organic decaf. It took them about a year to find a really good source, you know, organic decaf.
Right.
You know, because they're passionate about the product as we are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's weird. I know this podcast is heard everywhere, but, you know, Tampa is becoming a really, almost overnight, the coffee scene in Tampa is really starting to blow up.
When I first came up with this idea, we sat there and talked about all the coffee companies. And this was about a year ago now that I first even presented it to him. We've been a company, I'd say, for about 5 months or something like that, as far as actually offering products. So that first... whatever, you know, 7 months or 8 months was just research, development, getting all our ducks in a row, etc. But when I first came to him, we sit there and talked about like all the coffee comps around. It was like a list of like five places, you know, in the greater Tampa Bay area, St. Pete, Clear, all that. We're like, all right, these are the places that, you know, we want to see. They're roasting coffee. Let's go check them out, you know, getting some, you know, not stealing ideas, but it's good to go to the places you appreciate and say, yeah, I got to be this good, or I got to be better than this, or I want to get this good. And Brett, more than anybody I know, he can befriend just about anyone. And he'll go in and just start chatting, all of a sudden they're best friends. And
so he does the same thing, like make friends at Target.
We love people.
I care about people on a healthy level.
Yes.
But I don't always want to talk to them.
I got you.
So,
I don't know. I'm kind of with you.
Yeah. I know.
A lot like that. I feel like I'm more like that.
Yeah. I'm like a nurturer.
So we're drinking the one with the hemp seeds in it right now. And like you said, really, like you already mentioned, the tea aspect, it's almost a combination of both. If I had to flavors I've already had, those would probably be a combination of tea and coffee
too. And this is straight black coffee too. There's no sugars, no cream or anything.
I actually really like that.
That's what we hear every time we do anything.
Uh-huh.
We do
like
a lot of
shocked.
Events and everyone's like, this is the first time I think I could drink coffee black. And I'm like, that's to me a big thing personally.
Yeah. I mean, I've like painstakingly removed things from the like fancy Starbucks lattes that I used to drink and think that was drinking coffee. And, you know, take down the sugar. So I got the sugar finally down. Then I finally took the sugar out. And now I'm working my way off the dairy. And it's you know, it's a long process. It's hard to just cut it out, but that is delicious.
It is, yeah. With the first thing you usually get from a lot of people who don't drink coffee is like, wow, I don't like coffee, but I dig this coffee. It's because it reduces the acidity dramatically to what you're drinking. Mm-hmm. So it makes it more palatable. But the mouthfeel is very deceiving. Mm-hmm. It is very, very deceiving because it's like, wow, there's a creaminess on there.
Yeah, it's almost soft.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Versus the usual kick in the face that you get with
straight bottle. When you try the heart, which I'm brewing right now, you'll be like, holy cow, like there's such a
it's a big difference. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really creamy on the tongue, almost like buttery. When we do the nitro hemp coffee, we use the heart only because there's such a high fat content, and it's literally like drinking delicious butter.
So do you know the nutrition facts opposed to one to the other? Would you say you know
As far as those two go? Yes. The seed and the heart? For one, the seed, which has that Shauna said, it's going to be a little bit higher in niacin, zinc, potassium, and fiber. Fiber being one of the big ones, because once you remove that shell, just the heart really doesn't have a whole lot of fiber in it, comparatively. And fiber is water soluble. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to think you got fiber in your coffee.
Yeah.
But you do have fiber in your coffee now, too. So it's just another element of it. And fiber, the way it bonds, the way it breaks down in your body, I'm sure is part of the element, the way that the coffee, just another thing that makes that coffee dissolve the way and metabolize the way it does in your body, where you don't get those jitters. Like I said, as we find out and get research back from people that make claims, we look into them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, me, I've always been a coffee drinker. I haven't had any problem with any coffee. Him, you know, he's constantly had issues with coffee, and he doesn't have a problem with our coffee. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm not a great template study. I go off of taste, flavor, science. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, someone presents something to us. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Let's look into it, you know.
Yeah.
What we haven't had is anyone come back and say, oh, no, your coffee made me feel bad or jittery or whatever. It's all been, oh, it was good coffee. Oh, I love coffee. Or it was, oh, I couldn't drink coffee before. And so we didn't know that was going to happen. All I wanted to do is create a healthier version of a product I already loved.
Right.
Yeah.
It's become more of a passion than anything right now. And we have a lot of goals towards our future and where we eventually want to be. And most of it based around doing what we already do with the coffee, but getting really heavily invested in the hemp industry and supporting the agricultural front and building eventual, maybe general stores that have really high-end coffee roaster built into them with a coffee shop. And then we sell tons of different hemp products, hemp rope by the foot, hemp shoes, hemp flat, everything hemp you can think of, and make a sustainable, you know, superstore pretty much.
Yeah, because, I mean, the name of your company, the Hemp Coffee Exchange, I mean, that's what you're working towards, to have the exchange, is the idea of more products or a collaboration of people bringing together.
Collaboration is you hit it right there, which is something, the exchange portion, we're just about to start here soon. And it's going to start from our website, and then when we open a retail place, move into that, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But the exchange part is collaborating with people. And we want to be able to either sell other people's products or our people that collaborate with us and give them a place to either sell their art, their T-shirts, their sustainable products, their recycled pallet furniture, whatever they want. And we're going to have a place where we'll put those on our site, sell those people in the local community, and support other people who want to do something sustainable and work for themselves and do it. So we can reach out and help build a community. And the same thing, when we open our store, we want to be able to sell and offer their products for them as well.
Yeah, working with like-minded people. Yeah. Actually, our retail partners are all hand-picked. We don't go fishing them.
Yeah.
I come from a sales background. I was a brewery rep for a year, and I had the whole state of the territory. You know, so I had to literally cold call. You walk into bars, you walk into, you know, a restaurant, say, here's my card, you want to do a tasting. Now we're like, no, we're just going to say, do we believe in your business? Do we believe in you? Do your morals line up together? Because if they do, we want to work with you. Yeah. And that's the type of community we want to fuel. You know, it's really important to us because it's not just a business, you know, I mean, to go and make money. We're not in this to make money. Mm-hmm. We're in this to positively impact the planet and people's lives. Mm-hmm. You know, and that all starts with working with people who are like-minded, who have the same goals, the same interests as you in life, you know. So it's really important to us.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's it's totally admirable, and it's kind of inspiring, too. Like, you guys are being out here, we're at the Tiny Ranch and everything, and see the sustainability aspect of everything you guys do is very inspiring, and it shows you how beneficial, how paying more attention to every aspect of not only your nutrition, but also, you know, everyday life can be beneficial to your, you know, happiness, your level of happiness.
Absolutely.
So, I think that's it's an awesome thing, and I'm just I didn't know this was the way this podcast was going to go. I'm just going to interview and talk about taste test products and everything. But I'm always every time we do a podcast or I interview somebody, it always goes in a direction I never anticipated. So
that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's the one of the reasons we started. We started this podcast is hopefully to introduce people to new ideas and topics or new people in general. Yeah. And so that's the whole reason behind, we do this podcast every
week. As a young podcast and as a young company, you know, we're happy to be involved with it. We're happy to be part of it. And,
oh, yeah. Yeah, when I met you at Spatty's party, man, it was like, all right, I dig the vibe. You know, and I always say this, your vibe attracts your tribe. Mm-hmm. You know, Spatty was trying to steal
totally
that.
Does.
You can take that. But it's true.
That's good. I understand
that. You know, but it's important to recognize those energies and say, cool, man, like, I really want to, I want to flourish this relationship. I want to see where this is going to go. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes you can say, this is going to be a great, you know, a relationship with someone and things go awry because people grow in a different direction. People have, you know, pivotal moments in life where they change, you know, whether it be morally or maybe just a lifestyle change, you know. But I think acceptance and love is the first beginning to build any relationship, unconditional. Yeah. And that needs to really parlay into the way we treat our planet and everybody else on the planet, you know, because this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to work with people that see the way we see the world and really want to do the things that, you know, we want to do, which is positively just impact everything that we possibly can, you know. And your vibe always will attract that tribe. Hey, man, good to meet you. That's awesome.
Oh, that should be on a bumper sticker. I'm just saying.
Right. You need to, like, change it's okay. That statement. Not a problem at all. I still love you, man. Yeah. You know, we'll make it work.
I'm writing that down right now. Attracts your tribe.
You're going to hear him say that before.
Exactly.
Like, Cody Brett.
I was looking for something for a new shirt for my workout.
You're welcome. First one's free, bro.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So right now we have brewing the one with the hearts.
The heart. We're right now we're doing a pour over through the Chemex through a hemp filter, which hemp, once again, we try to use as many hemp products as possible. Hemp in itself as a fiber is antibacterial. Mm-hmm. So it kills fungus. It's an antifungal and antibacterial just by itself as a fiber. So think about if you had it. Is clothes and stuff like that. It doesn't grow mold. It doesn't grow bacteria. It doesn't have any fungus growth.
I think it's the terpenes. Yeah. This is why, you know, cannabis as a plant is actually sometimes natural resistant to certain bugs. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously spider mites is hard to get away from. But, you know, when you think of terpenes is essential acid. So that's actually what's in essential oils. You know, you've got, you know, floral notes, you know, that come from aroma. Because terpenes provide an aroma. But they also provide a chemical reaction to certain bugs or certain human beings. So like,
anti-pesticides, natural properties for the plant to survive. Mm-hmm. They give off terpenes so the plants won't eat it.
Yeah, so it's actually literally in the fibers of the plant.
It's like all the stuff you guys talk about, and I've heard it mentioned before too. Obviously, you guys have given me more details, more information, but it's just still a little bit mind-boggling that we can't get past. The propaganda that was put out so many years ago about, you know, a plant that's, I mean, obviously it's same genus but a different plant. You know, like the male and female version.
Mm-hmm. Starts with education.
Yeah,
that's one of the goals of our company as well, is to re-educate people and say, hey, you know, it's okay. Yes, you know, marijuana is, you know, coming from the same thing. You know, it's a word that's very taboo, but it's a reality. You know what I mean? And we have to re-educate and say, no, that's the female version, and that produces a flower that has tetrahydrocannabinol, and hemp is actually just the male version, and it produces seeds, and it uses stalks, you know what I mean, for food, for, you know, building materials, you know, for clothes, for biofuels, you know what I mean, for plastics, you know, the list goes on and on. So it's an education process. We have to educate, and it takes everybody else who's educated about the subject to re-educate everybody as well, because that's where it starts. It all starts with education.
Yeah. Well, and it's nice to think that, you know, there's people as educated as you guys now. There's starting to be, I feel like, a little bit more interest just from, like, general consumers on the subject, too. And I think all the, you know, positive PR that hopefully can just kind of continue to grow will make some significant changes in the years here.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I know we said we're not getting political here, but it's a political issue talking about, you know, trying to get this more into more common and get it now to make it actual crop here in the United States. Is, I mean, there's a lot of people in the middle of this country that grew up farmers, are still farming families, and, you know, trying to introduce a new product for them to farm and to revitalize the farming industry in the United States. Trust me, I know. I mean, grew up on a farm, so now my dad doesn't do it anymore. He rents out the land to people, but still, there's farmers out there that are looking for a product, and a product that
farmers want this.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And you know, the whole thing is, sad to say this, and you know, this kind of a conflict of interest, you know, in general, and you'll get a lot of different arguments for this and against this, but you know, the small farming is going away, and then middle-sized farming went away, and then large-scale farming now has pretty much got to the point where through not being able to have droughts, or you have one issue or one year where you don't make money, then you have to pull out a government subsidy, and then the government takes over a percent of the land, etc. The more the government controls the farming industry, which gets more and more and more, the less likely that hemp will be able to become a choice for a farmer to grow. And just because of all the issues they're going to have to go through, and it's not worth their hassle. If it was made easy, I would say the mass majority, you know, as far as percentage of farmers, would switch over to at least a portion of a hemp crop. And there's so many people who want to do it. It's just, like you said, for political reasons, and where a lot of big money is, it's a big limitation for us.
Yeah, it's all the things you... people don't realize how intricate farming is. I mean, growing something, being that, making that your business, I mean, it's so difficult. And the aspects of, you know, soil, you know, the nutrients that are in the soil and putting them back with cover crops like this. I mean, we've kind of really, we've with all the monocultures they have now going on in agriculture, it's really depleted all the nutrients in the soil. So we're really kind of almost, we're still propagating a, almost like a, I wouldn't say a dying industry, really, by just focusing on, I mean, a lot of corn and soy. And the, introducing something like this can revitalize.
For example, here in Florida, one of the biggest things, and people in Florida, they don't even know about this. You talk to 9 out of 10 people, and they have no idea. It's like, they, as long as they see, like, Nature's Florida orange juice on the shelf, they think everything's healthy and good. We're suffering from citrus greening.
I was going to say, that's going away soon. Well,
it's, you know, our crops are down unbelievable numbers, and it's not like a, just a random off season. It's going to, it's a progressive decline. And a lot of the citrus greening comes from the soil, health of the soil, sustainability, and the things in the air, which in turn kills the bee population, and the bee population decreases because it doesn't have healthy pollen to carry, and it's carrying certain toxins back to the hives that are sprayed onto these fields, etc. Hemp can cure a lot of that, restabilize the soil, helps with kind of the concept of viticulture, like in wine, where they plant like roses in certain areas, or this, or a banana every so many feet, to restabilize that, kill a certain insect, and you can kind of train it. That's the old school mentality right now of there's not a cheap enough crop to put down as a cover crop to make it financially available to these places. Once again, hemp.
Sugar becoming a big one.
Yeah, sugars. Beet sugar, and you know, exactly. It's affecting a lot of different industries all across the board, and growing hemp can help a lot. But as long as people hear the word hemp and they're like, oh, you know, marijuana, it's not going to happen that way. When you think about, oh, well, you know, if you tell someone we need to have 60% of all of the farm crops growing this hemp thing to create everything around us, including the paper, the notepads you write on, the cups you drink out of, and all this, and this is how we're going to get to a better place. All they're going to think is, well, we want 60% of the country's going to be growing drugs.
Funny
thing is, you can't grow a male and female plant. You can't grow hemp and marijuana next to each other, because the male pollinates the female, and that bud full of your tetrahydrocannabinol, your medicine, is now littered with seeds. And it literally reduces your harvest, your weight, you know what I mean? It also reduces the potency of that marijuana plant. So you can't grow these two crops in the same. That's what people are very scared of. They're like, oh my goodness gracious, you know, like, it's just going to be a field of marijuana. Well, you know, that's the case. And you can harvest that, and you could, you know, get high off that, you know, but the bottom line is, it's not going to be a moneymaker, because you're growing, you know, acres and acres of, you know, a strain that you want to use for medicine, but it got pollinated by a male plant, and now you popping seeds out all over the place. You know what I mean? So it doesn't make sense to do that. And this is why, again, re-education is, is the key to this. We have to educate people. We have to go out and say, hey, have you heard of hemp protein before? Oh, you know what's really cool? I've got this awesome coffee filter made out of hemp. What? You can use hemp for that? Yes, you can. You know what's really cool? This cup I'm drinking out of was made from hemp. You know what's really cool? This plastic spoon I'm using was made out of hemp. You know, that we need to re-educate and say the possibilities are there. But also we need the government to stand behind us and say, we're going to subsidize farms. We're going to, you know, help fund, you know, all these research facilities and these colleges and universities to actually expand the technology that we can apply to hemp. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, really, it could save the world. People think, you know, it's a bunch of hippies talking. No, this plant can save the world 100%.
Wow.
So this last coffee we have coming up here, the hemp heart, that's finishing in the pour over right now. Just to give you a little background, the way we recommend, the best way to recommend, if someone, you can, like I said, you can run it through your Craig, you can do all these other things with the product. We recommend doing a pour over. It's the best infusion technique, and it gets the best quality of coffee. Mm-hmm. You can control so many variabilities. And one important part is when you first do the coffee, like I said, if you can have your water temperature around 198 degrees, that's ideal. And on top of that, do an off-gassing. So just pour about 2.5 ounces or less water over the top of the grounds to saturate them, and you'll see some bubbles come up. That is leftover gases in that coffee that's being released that might just cause a little bit of bitter off flavors in the coffee, which through a drip machine you can't control. You're always going to get that in there through a Craig or any of those other ones because you don't go through an off-gassing process. So that's one feature that, other than the fact that you get an even balance where you don't oversaturate the grounds and the conical shape.
It's a very delicate brew method.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of that classic thing. I think anyone, I don't want to say anyone, I mean, it's going to kind of make yourself sound older than I am, but it's, if you think back to like the classic kitchen thing of grandma making tea or coffee, you hear like the pot on the thing going off, and the whistle or steam, that thing. Once the auto drip coffee machine got everything, that was eliminated, you know, and not many Americans, tea is such a small part of the American consumption compared to other countries. Controlling every process of the step and not having an automated thing, I enjoy just in general.
It's a world of difference. If anybody hasn't done it, like, because I do pour over every morning before I go to work, and then I get to work and they're doing the drip coffee.
Yeah.
So if I drink a little bit, of, you know, if I have a little thing in my cup, I'll be like, oh, I need a little bit more, and I'll try some of the drip coffee. I mean, it's night and day. It's like it's the difference is unbelievable how
it's
much it tastes.
It's they call it slow bar when you go to cafes.
Yeah,
you
know, because
it's
like
a very slow,
minutes.
slow process. But the result is much more. But we live these lives where we have to wake up and our coffee machine goes off because it's an alarm and it makes the coffee for us, which is great. It totally does, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's also nice to slow down and accept the morning and start your day with a process that's very ritualistic. You know, you get time to think. You know, how are you going to start your day when you're pouring your water over your coffee? You know, reflect on, you know, what kind of mistakes you made yesterday and how you can benefit and move forward in this new day and make it better and make yourself better.
Not just that, if you really want to, you know, psychoanalyze that too, when you first wake up in the morning, your brain waves are different. You know, you have constant flow of alpha and beta brain waves, and you have a different wavelength when you first wake up. And you're actually in your most creative point in your entire day, and people don't know that.
Yeah.
And so when you wake up and you go through that thing where you immediately put in like a barrier that slows your day down right in the beginning, you know, just not touch this and that, boom, you know, out the door address, you put in something you have to interact with, you give time for that, like those brain waves to really kind of release and have some thoughts. And I'm definitely most creative. Like, as soon as I wake up, I'm making coffee, like, oh, I gotta do this today, blah, blah, blah. I can write my whole to-do list while I'm doing my pour over.
No, it's I've heard a lot of people and a lot of successful people talk about their morning routine. And, you know, like you said, ritualistic. They have something they do. Either it involves exercise, it involves coffee, it involves writing right when they wake up or anything like that. 10-minute journal is something I've heard about. People talk about a lot.
Yeah, I do all three of those things quite often.
Yeah, so it's like you said, that's why I wake up. I mean, I have to be at my current job. I have to be there at 6. So I get up, you know, between 4:15 and 4:30. But I get up an hour before I even leave the house so I can get in my morning routine. You know, which is, I mean, I think that, like you said, it starts you off right. If your first thing you're doing is jumping in the car and driving without even giving yourself a second to kind of get your mind started properly, you're setting yourself up for disaster for the rest of the day.
Right. Yeah.
You may be able to recover. You know, you might be able to get into that routine, but you're not starting off optimally.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also a reflection period. You know, I mean, what mistakes did I make yesterday? You know, how can I make this day better than the day before? You know, like, what's my checklist to do today? You know, like, how can I go out and positively impact someone's life today or my own? You know, reflection is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to, you know, two things you apply. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can reflect, but if there's no action and there's no acceptance, you know, then you can't grow. Because if you don't accept, you know, that you made a mistake, you know, then you don't you're not going to move forward. And if you don't take action to change that mistake, then it makes no difference. So mm-hmm. reflection is very powerful.
All right. So this coffee we got right now is the hemp heart coffee that you have to try.
It's my favorite. I prefer heart. You know, he definitely prefers seed. A lot of people who like more of a robust coffee tend to like the seed. I prefer the heart. The heart will change the mouthfeel dramatically. That mild sweetness you kind of get in the background of it too, you know, which is what I really, really dig. But the high fat content changes the mouthfeel, very creamy on the tongue, and the mild sweetness has a really good balance to it. But I prefer heart for sure. I like seed on certain methods. If I'm doing like a hot coffee maker, like a regular coffee maker, I like the seed. If I'm doing a pour over, the hearts all day.
Yeah.
Now you say the one with the hearts has more fat content? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're both at a 15% ratio, and the kernel inside or whatever is where the majority of the fat is held. So, you know, time you grind down the seed and the heart, you know, whatever, it's say probably roughly like 6% of that seed product is going to be the shell in there. So it's probably about, you know, just under twice the amount of fat content.
I definitely think the one with the seeds, like you said, that word you used, earthy or tealy, is definitely prominent in there. And this one almost, it tastes a little bit, has more of the coffee taste.
Yeah, for sure.
So, it has a basket. It has a basket. It kind of really preserves a lot of it. And the mild sweetness you get from the heart just really kind of bumps out. This is why we tend to use South American or Central American origins, because they have those nutty kind of characters. Right. Colombian is a very, very sweet bean, you know, especially from the Medellin region where we tend to source it. You know, so that's a really good balance on it. You know, when you pair things, you either want it to enhance the flavor or you want to pair it with a flavor, you know what I mean, to kind of match where it's at. So
there's no bitterness to either of these coffees, which is what the, I mean, I think a lot of people, when they have coffee nowadays, they get used to.
Well, Starbucks.
That's
a flavor profile that I think a lot of people changed.
The burnt flavor, too.
Yeah, yeah, it comes from over-roasting beans, poor bean quality, etc.
Yeah.
There's a difference between acidic and bitter that people don't recognize as well. You know, an acid base is like if you bite into citrus skin and you get that, you know, acidic, citric kind of note. And then, you know, bitter is more of like, think like dark, dark chocolate. You know, they're actually completely different chemical compounds, completely different phenols, everything. But a lot of people don't know how to differ the two. So they either taste something that is acidic and think it's bitter, or taste something that's bitter and think it's acidic. When they actually work in opposite of scales on coffee, the bitter something gets, the less acidic it gets, the more acidic it is, the less bitter it'll be.
Yeah. So maybe, like you said, I was mistaken. I might have thought, you know, the normal coffee is actually more acidic than bitter.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, that's good.
When it came to coffee, it took me about 3 months to decipher the difference. Because we have
that was a big struggle with him, like me trying to really
still jittery.
explain to him the difference of acidity and bitterness, you know, on the palate. You know, you can see it in the scale, but tasting on the palate is, you know, you got to perceive the two different. And for the consumer, it's, does this taste good? That's all you need to know. Yeah. I like this and it's healthy. Awesome. I'm good to go. Yeah. For us, it's, you know, getting the product to the balance that I want it to be. So you got to identify all the flavors in there. So.
Yeah. Well, this is definitely like very smooth.
It is.
You know, like you said, that it has a little bit more of a creamy. I actually like this one better, but I think it's because I like tea.
Yep. The seed? Yeah. I like the seed better, too.
So this is why we offer both. It's very preferential. And we understand that everyone's palate's different.
Yeah.
People taste different things. Some people have super palates, and they're like, oh, wow, I can pick up the saltiness in that espresso. I'm like, what? I like that. I just taste slightly sweet and bitter, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's hard to decipher, but having options is really, really cool, and we didn't really want to just limit ourselves. We wanted to focus on one product, the hemp coffee, and make it the best we can, but you know, we realize, you know, he prefers seed, not for heart. We're like, screw it. We can make the best of both.
Yeah. I mean, they're both really, really good. And I never thought I would actually enjoy black coffee, like said before. Yeah.
We brew this a lot bolder than normal. Delicious. Too. Like literally a lot bolder than normal because we just like more of that coffee flavor.
Yeah.
So if you brew at home and you just put however many regular scoops of coffee in, you just adjust it more or less to where you kind of want to be. But always start with how much you usually put in your coffee maker is what we tend to recommend. And you can kind of adjust it from there.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. So do you guys have any, so we have the, you have the whole bean, just coffee by itself.
Correct.
You have coffee with seeds, hemp seeds, and then coffee with seeds and, no, Is it all three?
No, we have we don't have a blend of the seed and the heart one. Okay. We have just the hemp seed coffee, hemp heart coffee, and then we sell the whole bean, which all the coffee is made out of that same whole bean product we have. We switched our origins between about three to five different origins, depending on, you know, what we're doing, what we're going to be doing, what's selling, season, what our retail market is, season for the harvest. It's a lot of variables involved in that. Mm-hmm. We normally always have a Colombian and a Honduras, and then sometimes an Ethiopian or a couple others we've messed with. Guatemalan. And then from those, you know, we have a few different regions we do with inside those, each of those countries. It depends on a lot of variables. You know, the coffee kind of, what we say, comes to us. You know, we'll research if it's the right thing, blah, blah. That's the, and then we try to roast it to match the hemp seed, the hemp heart. So whole bean, we have usually a couple different varieties we're going through. And then the hemp seed and the hemp heart is a little bit more selective, but it has to match right for us to package those.
Yeah.
All that stuff's available on our website. This is the hempandcoffeeexchange.com. And then if you look up us on Facebook, Instagram, all the other stuff, we're constantly doing events and pop-ups. Right now we're in the process of building out a 29-foot Airstream for a mobile roaster.
Ooh, wow.
So nice. I have a mobile roasting unit.
Those things are expensive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, hopefully evolve into the larger general store concept as the hemp industry starts to develop in the United States.
Now, so people can go online and get it from anywhere? You ship to?
Yes, just
about. So we ship anywhere except Europe. Bahamas, we have a limitation. Canada, we can do right now, but pretty much within the United States and Canada is where we can actually ship right now. So you can go on our website, hempcoffeeexchange.com. You can order directly from there. If you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out, email us directly, DM us on Instagram, hit us up on Facebook Messenger. We respond quickly. We love to interact and chat with people. It's really, really what fuels us, you know, whether you're positively impacted or just have some really, you know, kind of, you know, questions. There's no stupid question. Reach out to us, let us know. We're super friendly. We love to connect.
Yeah, that's we're going to get all their contact info on our show notes like we normally do when we do every podcast. We have show notes, so we'll make sure we'll link everything to you guys, because after trying these products today, I mean, it's kind of revolutionized coffee. It's a different product, but it combines two ingredients really that are, you know, are sustainable and delicious, because I love coffee.
I know.
That's sustainable and delicious. That's the two words we use most.
adding in that healthy, beneficial aspect, I mean, it makes you feel better about what you're drinking. And, I mean, I know, Jeremy, you said earlier, you drink this every day. And I think the latest stats are coffee is still the most consumed beverage in America. And I know we consume it less than other people in the world. Mm-hmm. So this is a really... this is a really great thing that you guys are doing, because you're making something that has become a necessity in everybody's daily routine that can be good for you. People can feel good about and say, like, it's good sustainability-wise, it's good just for my body, and you can...
high in zinc. Hemp seeds high in zinc. Super high in zinc, which a lot of people need to boost their immune system.
All right. Once again, guys, thank you for coming on, or letting us come here to the Tiny Ranch and interview, guys. This has been a great experience. If you guys have any other future products coming out, or when you do, hopefully you guys will come on in the future and let everybody know about it, because we're fans. We're fans.
We'll help feed 100%. That education however we can.
I might want to challenge you guys and Jeremy to put me on an all-hemp diet and go completely meat-free.
Oh.
There we go.
Get my butt in shape.
Yeah, I'm sure Jeremy can do it. Both of us can do it. All right, guys. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We'll check you next time.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.